shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jim.
Hello and welcome to a Manchester United special on Shoot the Defence with the FNX Network. I'm your host, Stel, and I'm joined by Rodri Giggs, Martin Woolworth from Beyond the Pitch, and former Manchester United and England defender Paul Parker. Rodri, long time no speak. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah. Can't complain. Really excited about this new project that we're doing.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, but yeah, excited as well.
Great stuff. And Martin, great to finally have you on the show.
Yeah, great to speak to you still, boys. Hope everybody's well. It should be a good one.
Absolutely. And Paul, welcome back. Is Singapore treating you well?
It's not too bad. The humidity, I think, kills everybody because you're just constantly sweating all the time. But it's actually nice to be sitting outside in the breeze, to be honest. It's gonna, in a couple of hours' time, I could end up being cooked.
Hopefully not. Well, gents, let's start by refreshing our memories, so to speak. 21st of May 2016, Manchester United beat Crystal Palace in the FA Cup final. Moments after Wayne Rooney lifted the trophy, news broke that Louis van Gaal was to be replaced by Jose Mourinho. Martin, what was your initial reaction to the news? Because I know many people felt it was very unprofessional of United to let the cat out of the bag in those circumstances.
First of all, let's be honest, it wasn't much of a surprise, the sacking in itself. And if we're honest, it had been coming for a little while there, maybe, and probably would have come sooner if it wasn't for the cup run. But it really didn't sit well with me. As United fans there, we often jump on other teams, don't we, and how they treat their management. And we like to think that we do things differently at Old Trafford. So it didn't quite sit well with me. Just how quickly it was out, while Louis wasn't exactly what us United fans would have exactly wanted when it comes to, tactics and technically with that Dutch total football, possession-based football, it was very static and robotic in nature. I think even Schneiderlin came out, didn't he, and said that, exactly how he felt was very robotic and kind of sucked the life out of the game a little bit. But you can't argue that he wasn't entertaining, was Louis. Especially in his media and the end of season do's and his speaking. He was a very entertaining man. Just wish that entertainment would have taken place on the pitch as well. But I certainly thought it could have been handled a little better.
And as you said, in terms of entertainment, those press conferences, especially that one Boxing Day before the Stoke game, bit fractious to say the least.
Oh, yeah, he always had a good word or two, didn't he? And, the sideline antics where he's throwing himself on the ground and the singing at the end of season do's. He was an entertaining man, but it just didn't translate onto the pitch, unfortunately. And, we need to see entertaining football back at United and unfortunately he couldn't bring it to us. But at least he went out with a trophy.
Mm. And Rodri, Martin used that key phrase there, entertaining football. I mean, the Manchester United way is entertaining football, isn't it? Or so the narrative says. Did you have any doubts or reservations about Mourinho's appointment?
Reservations, no. Because, he brings trophies and that's what Manchester United is all about. Going to the entertainment thing, I think you're not going to get that with Jose Mourinho. We've seen that over the years. The players that he brings in, the players that he wants to bring in, when it comes to like the last 10, 15 minutes, the old United way was get down the sides, play quick football. He just lumps up to the big fella. We've seen that. So going back to the United way, I don't think we'll see that with Jose Mourinho. Not well, is it? No.
No? Okay. Fair enough. Well, fast forward 12 months and the landscape at Old Trafford has changed drastically. Zlatan Ibrahimovic arrived on a free and proved that doubters wrong, especially those who said he wouldn't even score 10 goals. He found the net 28 times. Eric Bailly was a £30 million revelation, while Mkhitaryan made his mark on a successful Europa League campaign. But all eyes were on Paul Pogba. He returned to the club in a world record fee and was reintroduced to United fans in the most elaborate way, a music video with Croydon rapper Stormzy. Paul, the powers that be expected Jose to achieve Champions League qualification, which he delivered. Although there was a lot of work to do off the pitch, morale wasn't great despite winning the FA Cup. It just seemed that Van Gaal sucked the life out of the squad. What's your evaluation on Mourinho's first season?
I think we have to say he gave Manchester United what they wanted, Champions League football. I believe he didn't do it in a fashion that was expected. I think we have to say in certain ways it was quite fortunate, because no one can actually say the way I want to do it is to qualify through the Europa League, to make sure, to win the Europa League, to get through to a Champions League final. You can't plan on that. You just can't do it. And to be honest, United and or any other team, you're judged on where you finish in the league. Manchester United finished sixth, which is, in my opinion, is a poor, poor season if Manchester United finished sixth in the league. But as everything's glossed over on the fact of qualification for the Champions League and actually winning two trophies in the League Cup and Europa League. And I'll say to any person out there who you either love Manchester United or you hate them, but the haters will say that a few years ago, Manchester United, you know, they would have seen it as a really, really bad season winning either one of those trophies. And yet at this moment in time, Manchester United, which disappoints me, are kind of, when you read stuff, are kind of trying to glorify them. And I just think Manchester United are better than that. I think they have to be totally honest and say that this coming season, Manchester United have to be challenging from the start and right to the end to try and win the league. Not to talk about guaranteeing that they finish higher in the league and finish in the top four. Have to talk with the manager and what he's been brought in for. It has to be about winning the league title.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Martin, social media gives people a platform to voice their opinions, and the APUs were out in force when United finished sixth, saying Mourinho had failed and Pogba flopped, and pardon the passive aggressiveness, but I didn't think or didn't realise winning two trophies, one being a European competition United had never won prior to Jose's arrival, and Champions League qualification, were a failure. What's your opinion on the matter?
Well, it's strange, really, because it can be both. For me, it's both a successful season and a disappointing season. As Paul was saying there, you know, for a Manchester United team to finish sixth in the league is just simply not good enough. With what you can really call unlimited wealth and being able to flex the financial muscle and go out and challenge to bring in the top players in the world, it's simply not good enough. However, you know, Jose was brought in to get us back in the Champions League. He delivered, albeit on the back of a Europa League win, which has got very sketchy towards the end. It was all the eggs in one basket, you know, towards the end there. And let's be honest, if we would have failed, then questions would have been asked about Jose's position in charge, really. Because he gave up on that fourth position. It seems sad saying this, but he gave up on that fourth position in the league, you know, quite a few weeks in advance. So he put all the eggs in one basket very, very early for that Europa League. Fortunately, went out there and won it. But, you know, Jose's almost going to get a free pass on that first season. Inherited an average squad, a squad that needed investment, a squad that needed new life breathing into it. The signings he made last year all came through and all delivered, I thought. I thought Paul Pogba is performing a lot better than the media will have you believe. He's carrying around that £89 million transfer fee. And I don't know what people are expecting. It seems like people are expecting 30 goals, 25 assists a season. Look, that's not what he's been brought in for. However, you know, he needs another player. He needs a defensive, a real world-class defensive midfielder to get the best out of a Paul Pogba next year. And I'm in agreement with Paul there. Moving forward to next year, I think nothing less than a title challenge and the latter stages of the Champions League is where United should be in, and quite frankly, where they should be with the money they have to spend, the ability they have to pull those players in. But it is getting rather concerning that there's not an awful lot happening right now.
That's a fair point. I mean, I know today is the 1st of July, so obviously, officially, they can now make those transfers. But Paul, when you look at the amount of injuries United had throughout the season, we saw numerous makeshift defensive lineups, which makes the goals conceded figure of 29 even more impressive. I know Swedish international Lindelof has joined from Benfica, and there are strong rumours about Nemanja Matic possibly being on his way. What can they bring to the team that isn't already there?
I think, in my opinion, I want to see, I can with the players that Manchester United had even last season, I still believe that United could have still played with a little bit more, we'll use that word, common word, flair, a little bit of the old-fashioned way, a little bit of, you know, taking the game to people. People arriving at Old Trafford and they were fearful. Regardless of whatever team went out, they were fearful. And I think United lost that over the last few seasons since the Gaffer retired. Manchester United have lost that. It seems like maybe a lot of the fear comes from the person on the touchline, because it seems like they've lost it in certain ways. And I think because at this moment Manchester United are playing on the back foot, they're playing more in hope, in the sense of making sure they're not to get beat, rather than going out and trying to win games. So I think when we do look at Manchester United and what they've got to bring in, is it isn't really that much, because there is good players there. There's very good attacking players, but the problem is they're not allowed to play in the fashion in which they were bought to actually play at this moment in time. When you look at someone like Mata, who's become a favourite very, very quickly, it takes a lot to get the fans to put a banner up with your name on it. And Mata has got that. And I was a fan of his at Chelsea, even more so when he came across to Manchester United, but haven't seen enough of him because I just don't feel in certain ways that he can actually play with any freedom or play with any confidence, because I don't think he gets that from the sideline. And as mentioned there by Martin, he said about Pogba. I think Pogba has been played in the wrong position all season. He hasn't been allowed to express himself as he was at Juve. Now, we saw how he played for France just over the summer. And you saw a completely different player who's playing with freedom, hasn't got to worry what's going on behind, wasn't over-elaborating on the ball as he does at Manchester United, maybe because he feels the pressure of that fee that he's got to try and do a bit more. His strength is about when he makes those runs and when he gets in the final third. Because when he gets in that final third, you never know what's going to happen next with the ball at his feet, as we saw what he done with Gary Cahill on the side of the box there, when he put it one side and went the other. Very good player, but hasn't been allowed, or he's had shackles on him at this moment in time at Manchester United.
That's a fair point. But what about Lindelof and Matic? Because we know Jose Mourinho likes a very physical player. Lindelof was obviously targeted for, you know, January time, and Matic would be the second time Mourinho would have signed him. So obviously there's something there with this guy that he likes. He gave Fellaini a lot of chances last season, and I think he delivered, to be fair on the lad. What do you think these two players can bring?
Well, I think Fellaini put Fellaini in a position where he had to just play to his strengths, and Fellaini is very limited as a Manchester United player, very limited, and he'd done a job in the end. But for them to step forward, you need something different. Is Matic the person? I've always liked Matic, but we've got to remember that Matic had to suffer the indignity of coming on as a sub and taken off by Mourinho after 30 minutes. He was dropped by Mourinho for a long period as well. So I just wonder how true that story really is. And would he still come across with confidence in him? Lindelof will make a difference, because I think United's biggest problem has always been in the middle. So it'd be interesting what he can add. I don't know enough about him, but Manchester United have been chasing him for quite a while, and I believe there must be something about him. But it's just about the one thing they do need, Manchester United, is continuity in the back four. There was a lot of changes, but the strength in that is the fact of United had a very strong midfield that was quite defensive-orientated in front of a back four that made many changes.
Fair point. Rodri, just like at his second stint at Chelsea, Mourinho needed a season to evaluate his squad, although I get the impression that he knew who to keep sooner than 9 months, especially after that 4-0 drubbing at Chelsea. Whose net do you think is on the metaphoric chopping block, mate?
Well, it could be a number out of 5 or 6, couldn't it? It could be Smalling, possibly Jones, possibly Blind, Ashley Young, the question mark over Wayne Rooney. Who else is there? Ashley Young, and obviously Zlatan won't be there. So he'll have to make a decision. These are still good players, by the way. and they still finished sixth. He's got a big season next season, so he's got to do the work and bring the players in very, very quickly and get to work with them straight away, because it's a big season for next year. He spent a lot of money again, and they'll be giving him a lot of money in the summer, I'm sure, to bring more players in. So it's a big season for him this season. The way he plays, if they're coming five or six again come Christmas, these fans will turn very, very quickly on you. Very, very quickly. They just keep on lumping up to the big fella and not playing football that we used to see.
I agree. Martin, what do you reckon? Because, you know, we've heard about Darmian possibly leaving. We've heard about Luke Shaw in the past, him having a bit of a flaky relationship with Jose. Who do you think is on the way out?
Well, I think it's safe to say that, you know, Wayne Rooney needs to be replaced. I think his time at United is done. And I think if we do see a Wayne Rooney starting the season at United, I think that is an indication that we've not got the targets that we went out there to get. Ashley Young was angling for a loan move in January anyway. So it wouldn't surprise him to see him go. Certainly one of the centre-backs. I would imagine if we got a bid sufficient enough for Smalling, I would presume they would take that bid. Luke Shaw and Darmian, realistically, I think he had a pretty good end to the season, and he may have just saved his career at United a little bit with a strong end to the season. Luke Shaw, obviously, that's nothing about what he does on the pitch. That's clearly all about attitude and what goes on behind the scenes. If he can sort that out, you know, potentially have one of the best left-backs in Europe. Bringing Lindelof in, I think he's a great signing, because, you know, Scandinavians usually settle relatively well in the Premier League, as opposed to players we get off the continent who like the sunshine, like the great weather and the lifestyle. It's not too different. So their league is a little bit rough and tumble, like the Premier League. So I don't think he'll have as long a bedding in period as some of the big, so-called big names you would get from on the continent. Matic, I mean, one thing Jose does, Jose brings in winners. These fans, they all want about the net. Oh, he's 28, he's 29. Look, you can't always buy potential. It's about here and now football now. Look, it's okay buying a couple of youngsters in there, but you've got to buy proven stars now and proven players who can play in the Premier League. That's why the Matic one for me would be interesting, because we know there's going to be no betting in period. He knows life in the Premier League. He knows the game. He knows the league. I think that would help Paul Pogba immensely. But a couple more have got to come in. There's got to be a number nine coming in. Whether that's Morata or not, I don't know. We can't go into a season banking on young Marcus Rashford again. I was like, lead the line for an entire season with the potential of 60-plus games. I think we're going to have to bring in one, if not two.
Absolutely. And Paul, you've played with a lot of United legends, you know, Hughes, Cantona, but to name a few. When you look at the current United squad, and with the greater respect to a lot of the players there, a lot of them aren't United players. And you know what I mean when I say that. Do you see a mass exodus, or do you think Mourinho is happy to kind of tinker with what he's got at the moment?
Well, I don't think he's happy with what he's got, to be perfectly honest. I think we saw that during the season with a number of changes. I don't think he really was enjoying working with a lot of players he had there. But he used players in certain ways. And like Ashley Young, he used Ashley Young everywhere except where Ashley Young wanted to be. So he got the best out of them in certain areas. And he talked about wanting a small squad, which he worked with at Chelsea. He worked with a very small squad because he never hardly changed a team at Chelsea. At United, he was talking more. He needs more players. He was talking about injuries. So we have to say we're not really sure which way Manchester United are going to go. If we're judging them, we look at the teams that I played in there, we have to say it's a different timing. Football was completely different then compared to what it is now. Football now is about squads, mm-hmm. players, players, managers, even fans talk about squads now. In the end of the day, we know that I think most fans want to see what they conceive as the best 11 players playing for them week in, week out. And I don't think they've seen that at Manchester United in the season just gone by. Because I think if United had done that, I think they could have really improved on what they'd done. Because you can't, as far as I'm concerned, is that you never bear grudges with players. All you want them to do is do a job for you. And I think there was a little bit too much, a few little issues going on there. And I think it affected United with too many changes. That was the biggest problem that happened last season. And during the time of Sir Alex, there wasn't continuity, was a major strength of Manchester United. And I think fans turned up at Old Trafford and they knew the team compared to what was going on this season and under Umbang Howe as well. No one, everyone's kind of wondering who was going to play next. And United's strength under Sir Alex Ferguson's time there in the Premier League era was all about continuity.
And it worked.
I think, looking at that point, I think if you looked at the last two seasons, I mean, Chelsea, you could probably name 9, if not 10, of Chelsea's starters every single week. The season just gone. And the same with Leicester the season before.
Yeah, correct.
I think they could have done that because they didn't have no European games and they were preparing for games all week. They're not going to get that next year, Chelsea, so it'd be a bit different. You can do that if you've got playing one game a week. If you're playing 2 or 3 games, it becomes more difficult. Then you have to use more on your squad game. And that's where we need to be more players and the more quality needs to come in.
Yeah, you are right in what you in certain ways. But again, I'm going back and yes, it's a different era and I sound like I'm an old man, even though I think I am now anyway, is that, I mentioned his name, Sir Alex, is that there still wasn't a lot of Champions Leagues that he won. There wasn't much changes in the team. And if there was going to be any changes, the changes happened in the FA Cup and the League Cup, not so much in the Champions League or the Premier League. So there wasn't. And I just wonder, is there a different... It might be just the fact there's a different mindset to the players now compared to when it was then, to the players then, to what there is now. Because players were thriving to play in every game possible. I know that I didn't want to miss any games during my 5 years here. I didn't want to miss any games. And that ended up costing me in the end because I was playing games with so many tablets in my throat. It was unbelievable just to make sure that I was playing. So I just wonder if that element makes any difference compared to what it is today. And people have got in there that, you know, you've got to rotate, you've got to rest. And I don't think you have to, because it's only, if you're playing for Manchester United, it's a minimum of 55 games a season and onwards. And I think that is possible, because at the end of the day, you're not going out digging roads, you're going out doing something that you love.
Yeah, we had this discussion on my show similar, you know, to that point, and it's our players now conditioned. Are they conditioned to want to get breaks? Like I say, back in Paul's day, there it's look, you don't want to miss a game because there's somebody behind you there who wants your position and wants your shirt. You know, now it seems like the players really are conditioned to play one day a week or maybe two at tops because they are going to be rotated. And I think I'm with Paul. I'm, you know, kind of over this over rotation. I think there's plenty of games there to get a break. You know, League Cup, FA Cup, early rounds. There's plenty of games to get you guys a break, and they should be easing off in training to be prepared for those big games.
Well, I'll put it this way: a lot of footballers are athletes, aren't they? And let's be 100% honest. If you look at, say, Cristiano Ronaldo, right? I know that they have that winter break in Spain, but he's been playing since. Well, he didn't even have a break in the summer because there was the Euros, wasn't there? And he's playing this summer, the Confederations Cup. So he's only going to have a few weeks before pre-season starts again. He spent the whole season. He's been injury-free. So is there an exception to the rule, or is it just he's just lucky?
I think we have to talk about... It's about he wants to play. He's actually conditioned himself to play games. Messi plays in almost every single game. Messi was out here in this region... I was back in the UK then when they were out here. But 2 weeks ago, he played in a game in Australia against Brazil. And then Argentina come to Singapore to play as well. So he was involved in that trip. He didn't play in Singapore because he was getting married, but he was still out. And he played in every single game. And people talk about rest. And then, as just mentioned, people talk about that mid-season break. And we keep talking about it, but the only problem is, though, if it ever did happen, the players would never get a break. The players would be off playing exhibition games somewhere.
Correct.
They'll be training. So there'll be no real rest of the players because the clubs are going to want to take the players somewhere to sell merchandising. to rest. The players ain't suddenly going to end up, you see, 20, 24 players on a beach together just relaxing for 2 weeks. So this is another thing that's got into people's heads. You've got a lot of people now, because managers are very good at it now, getting in people's head, they need a break. They want this break. Clubs want the break for marketing reason. Managers want it so they can mentally say they're telling everybody their players are getting a break and what they want. But players don't get a break because the manager doesn't get a break over that period. He's still got to be working. So I think we have to somehow get in the real world and understand it's football. If you're successful, you play 55 plus and you can do it quite easily. And touch wood, you don't get an injury, because it isn't always wear and tear that gives you injuries. It's sometimes a little bit of bad luck.
That's right. That's right. And Martin, United are also linked with Perisic, which has left a lot of fans, I don't know, underwhelmed. I mean, let's be honest. I think we need to put things into perspective, mate. Marquee signings don't guarantee success. And we only need to look at the likes of Ji-Sung Park, Solskjaer, Ronny Janssen, Henning Berg as examples of players who were by no means big names, but they did a job. Perisic and Matic are those type of players, aren't they? I mean, under the radar, yet highly effective.
Well, yeah, I mean, Perisic, I think he was into second top scorer anyway, wasn't he, with 11 goals, I believe, behind Icardi. So he does offer that, but I see the attraction in a Jose Mourinho style. Perisic is just a down-to-earth, hard-working winger, the type of winger that's going to track back in the way that Juan Mata's not able to do in this formation and Martial has been reluctant to do. So I see where, I mean, underwhelming, yes, you know, we always want to buy the flair players, or people will always want to see these big name flair players coming in. Well, you can't have 11 of those. There's got to be squad players there, and there's got to be players that are going to do the graft in today's game. So that's where Perisic comes in. By all accounts, I mean, I don't watch enough Italian football to have a solid opinion on the guy, but the people we speak to who cover Serie A say it would be a fantastic signing, especially in a Jose Mourinho system.
Yeah, and that's very well for the national team as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's about a few years ago. You know, it wasn't about as much about styles. You know, under Sir Alex, it was this expansive football where, hey, you score three, we'll score four. Times have changed at Old Trafford. We're not going to see that. It's going to be a squad based around being hard to beat, which he proved. You know, Jose got us in that style. He made us very, very difficult to beat. Boring at times, of course. We're not going to see the expansive football. The disappointing thing for me is we're going to the cities, we're going to the Chelsea's, we're going to the Liverpool's. We're setting our stall out not to get beaten. I'd much prefer the Man United that goes there and makes them change their tactics instead of the other way around, with us worrying about what they're going to do. And like Paul alluded to earlier on, that fear factor at Old Trafford's gone a little bit, and it's time to get that back.
I agree totally. So, gents, before we wrap up the show, what do you expect from United next season? Let's start with Rod.
Like I say, I expect big things. There's a lot of pressure on him, but he needs to take a lot more risks and let the reins off Paul Pogba a bit, be a bit more offensive. That depends on the players that he brings in. But no, I expect big things. And wherever he's been, he's won things. So, you know, why should Manchester United be any different? He's got the players, he's got the resources, so I expect him to be at least a top two side. But you know, it's going to be difficult, because there are a lot of good teams now. There are a lot of good teams, a lot of big money being spent. It's not like the old days where it's just Arsenal or United or United and someone else. There's four or five teams that can win this league now, so it's going to be difficult. But you know, we're Manchester United, and we're used to being at the top, and that's where we want to be. So it's a big season for him, like I said. But you know, I'm excited.
Absolutely. And Paul, listen, I know it's all about ifs and buts, and if United have taken the majority of their chances last season, especially games like Burnley and West Brom and Hull City, we could be talking about United ending up maybe champions. You know, it's not far-fetched, is it? What do you expect from this coming season?
I expect, maybe it's no different to what Rodri's just saying, is that you expect United, what he's saying is to be there competing. You expect Manchester United to definitely be better than what they were last season. Jose Mourinho couldn't be at a better club to be at. He's got a club that thrives on the fact of winning things. The club is out there and it wants to exploit the market with achievements. And so Jose Mourinho can just virtually ask for what he wants, and they'll virtually give it to him monetary-wise, because Manchester United need to win the league. They need to win the Champions League. They need to do another double. They want to do another double. So they will give the right person the right amount of money to go and succeed. They will give him the opportunity to succeed to do that. So he's in a position where he can do that. So I just think he's got to use it in the best possible way. And that is to go out there and make sure Manchester United fans are sitting on the edge of their seat. Come May, they're sitting there on the edge of their seat, at least waiting for one trophy.
Fantastic. And Martin, which trophies are you expecting next season?
Well, I would certainly trade in the FA Cup and the League Cup for a title or a Champions League, I'll tell you that. I think there's certainly going to be after a couple of big players come in between now and the start of the season, hopefully in the next couple of weeks before they fly out to join me out here in the States. But as you said, it's got to be a title challenge. It has to be a title challenge. I know, like Rod said, all the other teams are improving too, and there's a lot of money being spent. But you know, United need to be up there, top two, and they've got to be mounting a serious title challenge and going latter stages of the Champions League. Jose is going to be given this window, and it's a big window for him and Ed Woodward. I think both names could almost be on a chopping block if we don't get this right. You know, he's going to be given pretty much the money he wants to spend this time, but if he doesn't get it right next season with the players he brings in, I wouldn't overly expect a huge change tactically. Hopefully slightly more expansive, but certainly we've got to be mounting a title challenge.
Fantastic. Well, gents, thank you ever so much for coming on the show. I think it's been a fantastic first show. Rod, do you want to give everyone your Twitter handle?
Rod James Giggs.
And you're playing for the Offside Trust, aren't you, on the 20th of August, the charity game?
Yeah, it's Curzon Ashton. Good lineup.
Excellent.
Good lineup.
What kind of boots are you going to wear?
Can't wait. Oh, black, all black.
Great stuff. Paul, thank you ever so much, mate. Twitter handle?
My one?
Yeah.
Oh, Real Paul Parker. Real Paul Parker, sorry.
Fantastic. And you're off to training in a moment, right? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to be leaving 7:30 now, so I'm just on my way out now, yeah.
Great stuff. Well, thanks for being on the show, mate, and I look forward to having you back on again.
Cheers, thank you.
Brilliant. And Martin, thank you ever so much, mate. Really appreciate it. You got your... When's your next United show on Beyond the Pitch?
Next United, actually, me and Phil did it early this morning, so it should be released tomorrow. So that's at Beyond the Pitch, and then myself at MWorldWorks7. I appreciate it, mate. Thank you so much for having me on. Let's do this again soon.
Fantastic. Pleasure's all mine, mate. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. You can follow us on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. We have a website. We're on the FNX Network. So tune in, and we'll be back very soon. Take care.